Live with Curtis Lewa.
Two young people decided to form their own organization called the Guardian Angels. You see them with red berets. When you see them, you get a nice, secure feeling in your heart.
I admire Curtis Lewa, and I think that he takes his life into his own hands doing what he does.
Curtis Lewa, the Guardian Angels founder and leader.
We've got Curtis Lewa from WAPC Radio.
Curtis Lewa, legendary New York.
The Drive at 5 with Curtis Lewa. What happened today, why, and what's next? Live, local, on it, 77 WABC.
Do you hear the people sing? Singing the song of angry men. This is the music of a people who will not be slaves again.
7 minutes into the hour of 5. As we are high atop Madison Square Garden in the great facilities provided to us for this broadcast by NJDiet.com, the mayor of the city of New York, Bill de Blasio, MIA, he checked out at the worst possible time. But then again, being the cop hater he is, it just is par for the course. Look at this. The front page of today's New York Post. The day after an NYPD cop was executed, Mayor de Blasio jets off to Hamburg, Germany to rally lefties against the G20. And then in big, bold letters, and don't bother coming back, de Blasio. That's the way many people were feeling around the city and outside of the city today. Because as they scratch their head and they say, in the wake of the execution of a police officer on 183rd and Morris Avenue in the Bronx. How could this mayor just pick up with just moments notice to everyone that he had been invited to Hamburg to join demonstrators? And we've seen them now 2 days running, throwing Molotov cocktails, battling the police and the public safety officials in Hamburg, Germany, because they hate globalists and they hate capitalism. So the mayor is there, and although he claims he's not manning the barricades, he's not throwing Molotov cocktails, he's not joining these radicals, he claims he's going to participate in a peaceful rally on Saturday against the globalists and the capitalists. They're both intertwined. There's no way to separate them. The optics couldn't be worse. And just to give you an idea of how this mayor, your mayor, not mine, I didn't elect him, is such a fake, phony, fraudulent fugazi. Normally, he spends his Friday afternoons in his backyard, which is the slope, Park Slope. No. It's not to work out at the Y. He does that, as you know, each and every morning when the SUV entourage leaves Gracie Mansion at about 8:30 with his assigned police protectors there. And they take him to the Y in Park Slope. And then afterwards, he goes across the street to get a croissant and a cup of coffee before heading the rest of the way to City Hall to conduct the activities of the mayor. But Friday afternoons are a special time for Bill de Blasio because he gets to return to the slope again, to the very block that he lived on and raised his family on and now owns two houses on, 11th Street. And the gin mill he hangs out on, although he's not a drinker, he's not a booze hound, is the bar Toto. And what he does on Friday afternoons is he dials for dollars. He's running for re-election over my dead body that he should serve another 4 years, the part-time mayor, the dope from Park Slope. But he sits there at a table right in the front window. And with a phone, he starts calling contributors. Many of them from the real estate industry, many of them from Wall Street, many of them hedge fund monsters. He has no problem taking money from capitalists and globalists then to secure his reelection. But now he wants to show that he's in the vanguard of those anarchists, those radicals, those former Sandinistas that he was a part of when he went and traveled to Nicaragua to support Daniel Ortega, he and his wife at the time. The folks who like to wear the Che Guevara t-shirts, of whom he one time wore a shirt when he was attending NYU and actually went to Cuba behind the sugarcane curtain of Fidel and Raul Castro's Cuba to have his honeymoon with his wife. And I don't doubt in my mind that he sought out Joanne Chesimard, Asaka Shakur, who killed that New Jersey trooper years ago and then fled to Cuba for sanctuary. But imagine the fugazi nature of this guy to claim that he's on the front barricades to battle capitalism, to battle the globalists, and yet he so willingly wants to take their money on a regular basis to run for re-election. Now, what strikes me as strange is, in the aftermath of the execution and assassination of the police officer at 183rd and Mars, she has since been transported to a nearby funeral home so that she can be prepared for the wake, the funeral mass, and then, obviously, the burial that she is entitled to with honors, accolades, and the sorrows of so many who will be traveling from so many distant parts, in addition to her colleagues, to pay tribute to her. This mayor, I believe, managed to schedule the wake and the funeral mass days later so that when he gets back from Hamburg after throwing his Molotov cocktails and wearing the schmata on his head and reliving his radical days on the far left when he battled capitalism and globalism, when he finally returns late on Sunday night, it will bring him back in time for the wake that is now scheduled for Monday. Now, the reason I'm perplexed is if the body of the slain police officer is already in the funeral parlor in the Bronx to be prepared for the wake and burial, why is it the wake is not taking place on Saturday and Sunday with the high mass on Monday and the burial to follow? This would give police officers an opportunity from all over America to come and pay their respects, as they typically do for those who have fallen in the line of duty here, and as New York City police officers and other agency personnel do so when there are fallen heroes in other cities. No. The accommodation isn't for them. It's not even for some of her Dominican relatives that I believe JetBlue is flying in at their own cost so that they can pay their final respects. I believe City Hall actually created it so that the wake will now take place on Monday from 2 to 4, where the public can come and view the body and pay their respects, and from 7 to 9. That'll be at the World Changers Church right on the Grand Concourse. Tuesday is the High Mass at 10 and the burial to follow. Now think of that. How nefarious this would be. You know, I called City Hall twice to try to get confirmation of this, and nobody even bothered picking up the phone. They must have seen WABC and decided, hey, introduce whoever's calling to Mr. Click. But I was trying to find out if, in fact, this was the plan to protect the mayor. I noticed that Police Commissioner O'Neill, all he said was and commented on was the installation of the bulletproof windows in police personnel cruisers and in those compounds and communication vehicles that they're sometimes assigned to. He said the reason that that hadn't taken place was that it doesn't allow the police officers to properly communicate with the public. Nonsense. You just lower the window when you want to communicate with the public, like you would with any other kind of window that isn't bulletproof. But there wasn't an answer as to why the mayor is specifically being adhere to his schedule so that optically it will appear that he's at the wake and he's at the burial. Because you can imagine if the wake was on Saturday, how horrible that would look. If the wake was on Sunday, how horrible that would look that the mayor was over in Hamburg, Germany, with his radical friends tossing Molotov cocktails at the very capitalists and the globalists that he's constantly trying to shake down for political contributions. Inquiring minds want to know. We have a right to know from City Hall. And nobody is fessing up and telling us the truth of this matter. Now, if I happen to be wrong through constructive criticism, I'll be more than happy to apologize over the 50,000 powerful watts of WABC. But my hunch is correct. This was done for Comrade Bill de Blasio. So I'm calling upon all police personnel who are listening now, because I know some of you are cheating. You're in your squad cars. You're on duty. You're listening to your police radio as you should. But you're also listening to this show. And I'm calling upon those who are retired or who are off duty. And when you assemble at the wake site, and when you assemble at the high mass and the funeral, and then the entourage that will accompany the body for its final passage and burial, please once again turn your backs on this mayor as you did originally months and months ago when he was impervious to the needs of the police and impervious to the needs of the extended police family. Turn your backs on him. Because he cares not about you. He'd rather be with his radical friends in Hamburg, Germany, abandon ship, abandon his responsibilities as mayor to the city of New York, where he could easily have been visiting the precinct on Ryer Avenue and sharing condolences and firming up support and solidarity for a police department. He could have been at the graduation yesterday in College Point of a brand new graduating class, instead of just Police Commissioner O'Neill handling the graduation duties. He personally chose not to be there because he hates police. He has done this on a regular basis. He has signaled this, and he should have to pay an extraordinary price. And I beg you, I beseech you, if you are an on-duty officer, if you're a visiting police officer, and you'll be part of the entourage, if you'll be outside of the wake site, outside of the mass site, outside as part of the entourage, escorting the body to its final resting place, please turn your backs on this lousy mayor who hates police again.
The Drive at 5 with Curtis Sliwa.
Guardian Angel founder Curtis Sliwa.
Really trying to help our cause.
WABCRadio.com.
525, his comrade Bill de Blasio has decided to join the radicals throwing Molotov cocktails at the capitalists and globalists over in Hamburg, Germany. The other focus we have back here live and locally is who this cop killer, Alexander Bonds, is and was. And what led him to do this? Was he just motivated to want to kill cops? Was he psychiatrically titched? And as we continue here on the Drive Home at 5, no better person to dial up at this moment than Larry McShane from New York's hometown newspaper, The Daily News. Thanks for joining us again on the Drive Home at 5, Larry.
Thanks, Curtis. Belated happy 4th of July.
Yeah, and now I know, Larry, that you guys have had access at the news, I guess, to the apartment that Alexander Bonds was laid up with his old lady. Could you tell us a little bit about who we think he was and what he was up to and what he was doing on the streets?
Yeah, well, we know at this point that that when the police went in there, they found antipsychotic medication and anti-depression medication, along with prescription muscle relaxants, which raises the question of whether or not he was off his meds, you know, in the hours after the 4th of July when he stalked this officer in her car and shot her in the head.
Now
he lived there with his girlfriend, no kids. The apartment was a squalid mess. You know, not a lot of indications they were living the high life.
All right, but I understand that he realized he had some issues, or at least his girlfriend did. He goes to St. Barnabas. He checks himself and he says, "Hey, I got mental issues." And then what happened?
According to the hospital, he was there for 8 hours. This is last Saturday on July the 1st. And by the time they were done giving him the once-over, he was declared copacetic and set back out on the streets. Now, 3 days later, on the 4th of July, the girlfriend, who's the same person that asked him to go to the hospital to get checked out, made 3 calls to 911 asking for police help because she said he was acting erratic and paranoid. And when the cops, she gave the cops an address where they could find him, 2 different ones at least that we know of, and when the cops showed up, he had taken off and they were unable to find him. And then, of course, at 12:30 a.m., that's when he found Officer Familia.
Do we know if the girlfriend had mentioned that he was talking about or muttering about or posting up on his Facebook site that he wanted to kill cops? Because I've never really known cops to go away looking around for somebody on a 911 call that hadn't actually done anything yet.
Yeah, and apparently the cops asked her, is he armed, is he dangerous? And she said no to those 2 questions. So it was a bit of a mixed message there. You know, I don't know what to tell you. I don't know if she was aware of the Facebook post. Some of those were a few months old, but there was some definite anti-cop venom in some of the posts.
Now, I want to play for you an enhanced version of the 911 call, but the call-in from the police officer who was slain, her partner, as he was trying to get a response. And there's a particular lieutenant who interjects himself. I want you to listen to it, and I'll describe it to the audience. And you tell me what you think about what this lieutenant had to say. So you see, Larry, a lieutenant identifies himself as a lieutenant. He interjects himself. Hey, that might be a stolen radio. That could be a stolen radio. Why would somebody in the police department suggest that when clearly the call that was being made, 1085, he was calling, meant police officer down, be careful, you know, when you're arriving at the scene, it's an active shooter situation.
Yeah, I heard that recording 2 days ago, and I was perplexed by it then, and I have no answers for you now. It's just the tone and the tenor of the guy's voice amid, you know, the obvious dismay of the partner calling in about Officer Familia. It just seems incongruous.
Now, any response, and I sort of hinted at this before I started to talk to you, Larry. The wake is on Monday. The funeral is on Tuesday.
Right.
That means Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, no activity that we're aware of. Is this being done for the benefit of the mayor who's going to be away Saturday and Sunday?
I don't know about that. There's some reports that there may be a service of some sort outside the 46th precinct over the weekend.
Yeah, that's Saturday at 6 o'clock. I advise anyone who happens to be near the 46th precinct on Ryer Avenue off the Grand Concourse, please attend. But that's really being put on by her colleagues.
Yes, that's correct, yeah.
Right, but the fact that it would be so many days later that there's a wake, and it's only one day, and the funeral the next day while the mayor is away, let's face it, if he weren't here when a wake took place, it would really be bad optically for him.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'll be a little devil's advocate. They're from the Dominican Republic. Maybe they have some relatives that need to come up. But it's an interesting question.
Every day, JetBlue flies to the DR. And, in fact, I understand. I'm not totally sure, but I think JetBlue has offered to fly family and relatives of the slain police officer for the purposes of attending and being at the side of the family during the wake and the funeral. But boy, wouldn't that be devious if this was done to benefit the mayor, Larry?
Well, I'm sure somebody will ask when he gets back, you know?
Yeah, maybe that'll be you, Larry. I hope so.
All right.
You know he ain't answering my questions. Do appreciate that. Gumshoe reporter for New York's hometown newspaper, The Daily News, Larry McShane. You know my observation on this, ladies and gentlemen. I think this was done purposefully to benefit the mayor, who's missing in action and has abandoned ship again.
The Drive at 5 with Curtis Sliwa.
Those who practiced like you.
Deep into the headlines. Deep into the streets.
This is good.
Deep into your eyeballs.
How disgusting.
Studio View is live right now. WABCRadio.com.
This next story has ramifications because it happens on a regular basis throughout the tri-state area, particularly to those who are climbing the aging ladder. Could be your grandparents, your parents, your aunts, your uncles, or family, friends, relatives of a different type, or even people that you used to work with now that you're retirees. Imagine, you're a senior citizen, you're told you win a $700,000 prize, and you're all for toots, except you're going to get scammed. And breaking us in on this particular scam is Karen Price Mueller. She is the columnist for the Star Ledger that writes the Bamboozled column. Thanks for joining us again, Karen, on the Drive Home at 5.
Thanks for having me, Curtis.
All right, so break it down. Who is this woman, and how was she bamboozled about a $700,000 prize?
Well, this particular woman, 89 years old, Angelina Fay, she receives a message, and she didn't know who it was from. She called back, and they said, hey, you won $700,000. You only need to pay, $900-plus as a fee to make sure that you can get this prize. Now, she was beyond thinking about the fee. She was very excited about the prospect of being able to help her family. So she almost fell for it. She went ahead and called and was told that there was some package waiting for her in all places, Los Angeles Airport, because these scammers sort of get creative and change their story every time. But all she needed to do was send a cashier's check for a background check to make sure that she was not a terrorist or ISIS or so on. And she was told it was a new government regulation that needed to be followed to make sure that nobody receiving big prize money would be giving it into the wrong hands. She came very close to falling for it. She made the phone calls, explained to her family, and when her family heard it, they were more than a little bit suspicious, and they sort of followed the trail with her to show her that it was nothing but a fraud.
Wow, but it was obviously a slick routine.
You know, the crazy thing about these scammers, whether it's an IRS scam or the grandma scam where they tell you that a relative's been kidnapped or in an accident and you need to send money, these scammers are so talented at what they do. You know, you might think that, oh, how could somebody fall for this? Well, these scammers tend to get little nuggets of information about the person that they're calling, so they knew her name, they knew her address and some other information about her to make it sound like it was a legitimate thing. But whatever the scam is, it's just so easy for older folks, especially who might be lonely, who might be looking for somebody to talk to fall for it. And that's what happened in this case.
Not only that, Angelina Fay, since she's 89, lived through that generation that saw Ed McMahon delivering the Publishers Clearing House prizes on a regular basis, you know, for the magazine subscriptions that you would take out. And so people, I think, would just naturally assume it was one of those, right?
And, you know, Publishers Clearing House has been one of the organizations that has been used as part of these scams over and over again. But the truth is, Publishers Clearing House will never call you, will never ask you for money. You won't know ahead of time. If you actually win the big check from Publishers Clearing House, they're going to show up at your house with the oversized check and the van and the balloons and all the hullabaloo. They're never going to actually just call you on the phone.
All right, well, Angelina Fay was prevented from taking that next step in sending the money by her family that was jaundiced. But was there ever a way of tracking down who these people were and getting them arrested and taking them out of circulation?
You know, what's really tough is that many of the perpetrators of these scams are located out of the country, or they might be out of the state where you are. And the truth is, even if you have the telephone numbers, as she did in this case, local cops don't necessarily have the time to track it all down, and if they did follow the trail, it often goes out of the country, and the local officers don't really have the time or the ability to really follow up on it. So, you know, the biggest advice that I have for older folks, younger folks, anybody who gets these calls, just hang up. If somebody is asking you for money, if they say you've won a prize, whatever it is they're trying to pull on you, if they tell you that they're the IRS, hang up. If it's the real thing, they'll find other ways to contact you. And, you know, a lot of older folks lived in a time where you were taught to be polite. You don't hang up on people. But we need to remind our relatives and our loved ones, just hang up the phone.
Well, in your column in the Newark Star-Ledger, Bamboozled, you oftentimes critique of these attempts, whether successful or unsuccessful, to bamboozle quite a few people. How voluminous are they, and how many different varieties do they come in?
You know, there are more varieties than I'm able to list here, but you name it, and there's a scam that has to do with it. And really, the smartest thing, if anybody ever calls you and offers you money or says, hey, you just need to pay a small amount and you'll get something large back, just be suspicious. I would say it's almost never the real thing.
I do appreciate that. That's Karin Price-Mueller. She is the columnist for the Star-Ledger. Writes Bamboozled about so many people who get taken advantage of. Reminds me of the story that I was told about this guy out of Pittsburgh. His nickname was Old Dad Shook the Crook. He was a roofer. He would outsource the crews, and they would go to a location, and they would tell senior citizens, particularly before the snows and ice would come, hey, you need a new roof. And all of a sudden, the senior would say, well, what can you do? Well, we can put the roof up there now while the weather is good. And he would have his crew go out and buy all the materials at a Home Depot. And they would lift it up on one side of the house. And while the seniors were watching them being lifted up, thinking it's on the roof and they're doing the repair work, the other two guys would lift it back down on the other side, load it back up to the truck, and then they would disappear. No roof was ever constructed, no tar paper, no sealants, no nothing. And this goes on a regular basis. You know, gypsies have a habit of doing this, but there's a whole just cottage industry of thieves out there. If caught, I would just like to take them, put an open palm right on the side, you know, right on the curb. Get a ball peen hammer and break every knuckle on their hand and let them wear a cast for a while. Right, right. We don't have to necessarily incarcerate them, but let them wear a cast. And I guarantee you the arthritis, the rheumatism will set in. They'll be pained and strained for a lifetime because of their massive indiscretions against seniors.
The Drive at 5 with Curtis Sliwa.
There's nobody that knows this city better than Curtis Sliwa.
WABCRadio.com.
And with the radio blasting, goes cruising just as fast as she can now. And she'll have fun, 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 till the night it takes a T-Bird away.
Fun, 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 till the night it takes a T-Bird away. As we continue to take you home on the Drive Home at 5. And I've been telling all of you of late, and in looking at Andrew Evil Eyes Cuomo, King Cuomo II, the son of Mario Faccia Brutta Cuomo, King Cuomo I, it's clear in his public appearances he's been working on his man tan, that on a regular basis on weekends, Andrew Evil Eyes Cuomo is hanging out at his brother Chris Cuomo's pad in the Hamptons. And in fact, this weekend, you would think he would be prepared to help gear down an MTA, money-taking agency, that has problems galore, not just in the inept subway system service, but in the fact that the Long Island Railroad is having to be rerouted because on the 10th, this Monday, Cuomo's statement of a month ago is being realized.
It will be a summer of hell for commuters.
So you're looking at 10 or 12 tracks that are run by Amtrak that lead into Penn Station, both from the Sunnyside Yards in Queens under the East River, and those that come in from New Jersey that are taken mostly by Amtrak itself and New Jersey Transit that bring themselves right into the bowels below us, which has degenerated itself into a third world station where the service is inept. And as you saw from the derailment last night of a New Jersey Transit train, the problems have just multiplied and they promise to continue to get worse and worse. So instead of getting ready, what is Governor Andrew Evil Eyes Cuomo doing this weekend out at Chris Cuomo's pad in the Hamptons? Naturally, he's conducting a fundraiser for his reelection as governor in 2018 over my dead body, and eventually for a launch at running for the presidency in 2020 on the Democratic line. And who will be in attendance at this big bucks fundraiser for Cuomo, who has been so inept in running the money-taking agency? Oprah Winfrey, John Bon Jovi, Martha Stewart, and a whole host of other jet-setters, trendoids, hedge fund monsters, and fat cats from Wall Street. But remember what Governor Cuomo said just a week ago this past Friday when he declared a state of emergency with our mass transit system. Remember?
The MTA will tell you today it takes 5 years to get a new car. That is just ridiculous. I could build a car in 5 years.
Well, the only car he works on when he goes out to his brother's pad in the Hamptons, Chris Cuomo's pad, is his Pontiac GTO, his muscle car, his vintage car. But while he was saying all of that, that we're in an emergency situation, he was backdooring all of us. Because originally, the MTA was scheduled to purchase 940 subway cars. Now, there are a total of 8,000 subway cars in existence. About a third of the stock needs to be replaced desperately, not just because the undercarriage is not functioning well, the wheel well base, all the mechanisms that power the train, the air conditioning, etc. But they've just run their course, their gamut, and soon they should be just deposited off the shore of North Carolina and be part of that natural reef that has been built up over the years. But oh no. We're not going to get 949 subway cars. Instead, we're going to get 450 subway cars, and the manufacturing schedule will deliver them in 2020. Do you realize there are only 300 new subway cars that will be delivered this fall that were ordered more than 5 years ago? So when you think of an emergency situation, you would think all hands on deck. You need Andrew Evil Eyes Cuomo to be attentive to each and every detail of what the MTA is doing. He's missing in action. You look at Shamu El Jefe, Chris Christie, who should be attentive to each and every detail of what New Jersey Transit is going to be doing as of this Monday. And instead of being at the helm and staying on the jockstrap of Amtrak to make sure that they deliver on their promise to repair and replace the tracks that lead into Penn Station, where will the missing in action governor of the state of New Jersey be during this emergency crisis? He's going to be over at the Fan. He's going to be substituting for Mike Francesa both Monday and Tuesday from 1 in the afternoon to 6:30. Now, let me ask you a question. If all of a sudden there's another derailing, or there are all kinds of delays, or switching problems, or track problems, or signal problems, do we think that Shamu El Jefe, Chris Christie, is going to get up and leave and all of a sudden attend to his duties? We know what the answer is, no. And meantime, the person who has been put in charge due to the absence of Andrew Evil Eyes Cuomo, Mayor de Blasio, who is off with the radicals tossing Molotov cocktails at the capitalists and globalists at the G20 conference in Hamburg, Germany, and actually Shamu El Jefe, Chris Christie. It's the part-time emergency executive director of the MTA, Joe Loden, who will be spending most of his time at his primary job, which is over at the NYU Medical Center, the Langone Center, instead of attending to the minute details that have to be covered as Amtrak will begin a gargantuan task of rerouting so many trains that normally would come in to the bowels of Penn Station. So be prepared on this Monday. So when things go awry, know that Andrew Evil Eyes Cuomo will have checked out. Shamu El Jefe, Chris Christie will have checked out. And obviously the mayor of the city of New York, Bill de Blasio, checked out long ago. And the last man standing will be a part-time executive director of the MTA. What kind of serious executive crisis is this if nobody's at the helm?